Well, good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing today? Great to see you here. Before I get into the message today, I just wanted to give a shout out to our team who, while we were meeting in the tent over here the last 2 weeks, there was a lot going on in this room. And for some of you, you probably noticed right away. Maybe others of you didn't know what took place in here, but I just want to let you know. New carpet in here. Did you notice that? Yeah. Get a hand clap for carpet, all right. Everything got repainted, so you can imagine that's a big task. We got some new sound absorption panels up there. That's what those are. They're not checkerboards or chessboards. Those are sound absorption. There's a lot of those in here, and a lot that you can't see was completed. But our team of both staff and then working with contractors, they worked very long days to get this all ready for us. I just want to give you an opportunity to just thank them. We have a saying around here that we want to work really hard to make things look simple and easy. So if you know anything about the whole technology world, not everything is always simple and easy, but we have an incredible team here. I'm so thankful for them. All right, well, are you ready for God's word today? I am excited to bring it. How many of you have ever been moved to tears by a movie? Anybody ever been moved? Yeah, a lot of us have. Which is always interesting to me because it's like it's just actors and actresses portraying some kind of story. It's really a fake story, yet it can touch our emotions and actually move us to tears. Isn't that fascinating? But I think a more important question is, how many of you have ever been moved to tears by an animated movie? Yeah, I almost was, and I'll tell you about it. I am a huge fan of Pixar, Disney Pixar movies, and I have a lot of favorites, but my favorite Pixar movie is a story about these two guys right here, Woody and Buzz Lightyear. Now, Woody and Buzz Lightyear, if you don't know about this, this is, of course, is Toy Story. There are four movies in the Toy Story cinematic universe. And obviously, Toy Story 3 is the best one, right? But if you don't know about this movie, I'll just give you a real brief summary. These toys are really they are owned by Andy, who is a human boy. Now, Andy's not the main character, but he's a very important character in Toy Stories. And so Andy has these toys, and they come to life. And there's about 8 or 9 or 10 of them that you kind of follow their journey, where they have all kinds of different personalities and different quirks about them, but their common denominator, what has connected them together, is their loyalty to Andy. And so they go through all of these things and experiences that test their friendship. You know, like one of the toys gets sold at a yard sale. You know, I just hate it when that happens, don't you? Kind of test your friendship. Or when most of the toys were given to a daycare and they had that experience. Oh, I hate it when that happens too. But you follow the journey of these toys come to life. There is this scene at the end of Toy Story 3 that is so powerful. And I just want to give you a real brief summary of it. And this movie is over 10 years old, so I mean, we're way past the spoiler alert statute of limitations. So if you haven't seen it, you know, sorry about that. But there's this scene that takes place. Woody gets captured by the villain in Toy Story 3, and his friends are trying to rescue him, and they all end up in a garbage truck. And this garbage truck is going to a landfill and goes to the landfill and dumps out all of the trash, including these toys that come to life. And so they're in the middle of this landfill and they're trying to figure out what to do. And they're like, we got to get out of here and get back to Andy. You know, he's our owner. And so while they're trying to figure out what to do, all of a sudden a big bulldozer comes and pushes this large pile of trash, including these toys, right onto a conveyor belt. And this conveyor belt is flying. They're moving and bouncing around, and they're heading towards these two big blades that are chopping up all of the trash. And so they're just narrowly escape these big blades to get on the other side of that, still alive, the conveyor belt still moving them. And then one of the toys looks ahead and says, oh, look, there's the light at the end of the tunnel. And as they get closer to it, they realize it's not the light at the end of the tunnel. It is a big ball of fire because they're heading towards the incinerator. And so once they realize they're heading to the incinerator, again, they're scrambling, trying to fight against this conveyor belt that's taking them closer and closer, but they could not fight it. And so they stop struggling, and they're heading slowly towards this incinerator that's certainly going to melt them in only a matter of moments. And in that moment, you see the realization come across their faces that this, I mean, they're heading to their impending death. And they start one by one grabbing the hand of each other. And they're holding each other's hands as they're getting closer to this fireball, as if to say, we've been through everything together. The highs and lows, we've been lost, we've been found. And if this is how it ends, at least we're together. And I'm watching this, and all of a sudden, one of my kids says, Dad, are you crying? I'm like, no, I just got something in my eye or something. Of course not, I'm not crying. But Toy Story is about true friendship. Right, you got a friend in me. That's the theme song of it. And by the way, the toys do get rescued just in the nick of time. Another toy sees them, gets in the crane, pulls them out of that moment, saves them, rescues them so that the Toy Story franchise could continue to make millions of dollars. Be thankful for that. But Toy Story is about this true friendship. And true friendship is a biblical concept. It's a biblical idea. Friendship was God's idea. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning as we continue our series called Biblical Community. We're in part two of our series. We kicked it off last week, and if you weren't here last week, I would encourage you to listen to it because we're going to build from one week to the next. But this whole series, the foundational scripture for this series was how the early church, and Heather primed us so well for it, how the early church, what they did to grow in their faith in Jesus. I want to read Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says this. They, meaning new believers and veteran believers, devoted themselves. That means that they had a ruthless commitment to these practices, right? They devoted themselves to what? These four things. The apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And so we pull the big idea of this whole series out of this passage, and it really comes down to this, biblical community. Biblical community is the result of a group of followers of Jesus committed to these four practices. Teaching, we talked about that last week. Teaching is simply biblical knowledge applied. It's not enough just to gain more and more information and knowledge, but it's biblical knowledge applied. We talked about that last week. Teaching, fellowship, we're going to talk about that today. Meals, going to be next week. And then prayers, how we're going to wrap it up. And so today I want to talk about this word, fellowship. Fellowship, what is fellowship? Why is it important? Why is it listed as one of these important practices that the early church devoted themselves to? And then how can we experience it today? Fellowship, well, fellowship really is just friendship. It's true biblical friendship. Fellowship means you're for each other, right? You're for your fellow. That's where that word comes from. It's a partnership. It's not a competition. It's saying, I see you, I know you, and I'm for you. I don't want you just to succeed. I actually want to help you succeed in your life. That's what fellowship is. Now, I always thought that, I just made this assumption that fellowship was God's gift of friendship so that it solves this problem of loneliness, right? Because fellowship does solve a problem. I just thought, well, it's a way that we can't be lonely so that everyone has a friend and we can experience this gift of friendship. But fellowship is not just to overcome loneliness, not just trying to solve the problem of loneliness. It's actually that friendship is a byproduct of fellowship. Having friends, overcoming loneliness is a byproduct of it. It's a great gift to experience in life. But it's not the biggest problem that fellowship solves. What fellowship, this practice of fellowship that we're going to dig in today, it attempts to address a very significant reality in life, and it's right here. This reality is that you will become like the people you spend the most time with. You will become like the people you spend the most time with. So let's ask a question, ask ourselves a question. I had the privilege of asking myself this question all week to evaluate my own life. Are the people that I spend, who I spend the most time with, are they people I want to be more like? It's a good question to ask yourself. The people that you spend the most time with, look in your life, the people that you spend the most time with, are they people you want to become more like? Because the people you spend the most time with, you will become like them. And so this practice of fellowship is an action we need to put in place. And why is it so important? Here's why. Because we cannot always control the environment that we're in. Yet the environment we're in, the people we spend time with, have a lot of influence on us. So time spent equals influence on. Time spent with somebody equals their influence and amount of influence on your life. But we know, I mean, if you've ever spent a lot of time with a coworker that you didn't really care for and was a bad influence on you, we know that we can't always control that. So fellowship then, this practice of fellowship, is actually counteracting the environment that may be out of our control, so that you choose who you influence, who influences you very carefully and very wisely. It has a great impact. And so how do we build this into our lives? How do we build this practice of fellowship or this biblical friendship? Well, today I want to give you three proverbs for how to do this, how to put this into practice. We're going to spend some time in the book of Proverbs today. So if you're taking notes, I want to encourage you to write these down. And if you didn't come prepared to take notes, I want to encourage you to write these down, because something takes place. We retain this knowledge a little bit more. It becomes a little bit more personal when we're engaging in it, writing it down, and absorbing it. So number one, here's where we're going to start. Walk with the wise. Walk with the wise. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20 says, walk with the wise and become what? Wise. Walk with the wise and become better looking. That's not what it says. Become smarter, maybe, but not necessarily. But when you walk with the wise, you will become wise. Isn't that an amazing principle? If we truly believe this and live this way as if it was true, imagine the impact on your life by just adjusting who you're walking beside and who you're walking with. The writer of this proverb continues, says, associate with fools and get in trouble. Suffer harm, another translation says. Experience your life falling to pieces, another translation says. So walk with the wise and become wise, associate with fools and get in trouble. And I love the word picture of walking, right? Walking. It's a great illustration. And this past summer, I learned something about myself. I learned that I have three speeds of walking. And if you don't know me that well, this will give you a little window into getting to know me and my personality. So let me just demonstrate real quick. And I don't always like doing demonstrations. But here is speed number one, normal speed. This is like 95% of the time. Here's my normal speed. Like, it's right here. You'll see me walking down Main Street. This is about my speed for 95% of the time. Speed. The second speed that I have, and this is maybe 1% of the time, or maybe a couple percent more, it's called emergency speed. And let me just demonstrate emergency speed. Here's emergency speed. It's about like this. You know, just a little bit faster, the house is on fire, or maybe someone's yelling for help. I mean, does it really make a difference if you're there 3 seconds earlier? No, you just stay calm, right? Stay in the same, maybe just a little bit faster, just to communicate that, yeah, I hear you, and I'm coming. So that's speed number two. That's like most of the speed I walk are those two. But I found out this past summer, our family got a chance to travel to Colorado. So the five of us had the airport experience, and I realized that I have an airport speed. And it just kicks in kind of instinctively, right? getting off the shuttle, here's where it went. Shuttle, let's go. Get your bags. We got to get to the check them in. We got to go through security. I know we're here 2.5 hours early, but we got to get through all of this so we can wait 1.5 hours on the other side and be bored, right? And so I was constantly ahead, like, and I thought I was leading the way, but that's not really walking with, is it? But here's why I think airport speed is important to me, and I don't know if you can relate to this, but here's the problem. If you're late for a flight, and we're late for a flight, who has to deal with that problem? I do. So I want to do everything I can to prevent us from being late. But that's not really walking with someone, is it? Walking with really can be broken down to two things, time and distance traveled. So if you're walking with somebody for 10 miles, you're not going to get there in 10 minutes. It's going to take a couple hours of walking alongside, traveling this distance. What does that represent? It represents all of the things of life, the highs and lows of life, the different experiences that we have, the things we celebrate, the things that make us move us to tears, the pain. The celebrations, that's what life is. So who you walk with has an incredible impact and influence on your life. And so Solomon, who wrote the book of Proverbs, he points out, walk with this category named the wise. Now, if you read the book of Proverbs, Solomon wrote most of the book, but Solomon identifies four types of people and how they approach biblical knowledge. How do they handle the biblical truths that we talk about week after week? And the four types or the four categories of people are the wise, the proud, the simple, and the fool. And you'll see that all throughout the book of Proverbs. The wise, the proud, the simple, and the fool. And I want to give you just a very brief description of each one. Again, this is how they approach biblical knowledge. So let's start with the wise. The wise are people who listen, learn, and apply it. What is it? Biblical knowledge to their life. So the wise listen, learn, and apply biblical knowledge to their life. They build their life on the knowledge of Scripture. It's not just enough to gain knowledge, they put it into practice. That's the wise, that's the kind of people we wanna be, and that's the kind of people we wanna walk alongside, right? All right, second category of people, the proud. The proud think they know everything and reject it. What is it? Biblical knowledge. So they already think, they're know-it-alls. They already think they know everything, so they reject biblical knowledge. They're not interested in it. They already know it. They come across very condescending. They are know-it-alls. How many of you have ever spent time with a know-it-all? It's not fun to be around someone who's a know-it-all. And so Solomon identifies that group. Third group is the simple. The simple believe anything and are easily led astray from it, from biblical knowledge. So they're very gullible or naive, very susceptible to something that may sound true, but they're easily deceived. And so they're led astray from biblical knowledge because they're very easily susceptible to things that sound true but are not. And then the fourth category is the fool. That's what this Proverbs addresses, or who this Proverbs addresses. And the fool is ignorant. Now, that does not mean uneducated or a low IQ. Ignorant means I ignore, that's where that word comes from. I'm ignoring this truth because they're uninterested and then they become unaware of it. So they ignore biblical truth, they're ignorant of it, they're unaware of it. And it's really because, not because they're not smart people, but the fool has chosen to build their life on two things, humanism and materialism. And they lack the spiritual desire, this hunger to take in, to gain biblical knowledge and insight. Materialism is simply being so focused on acquiring stuff and letting stuff fulfill you. Humanism is being so focused on self, and you're just looking for fulfillment in self. And so the fool has traded biblical knowledge or this desire for biblical knowledge for simply living, for acquiring stuff, to find fulfillment in that and in themselves. And so Solomon gives us this warning. Walk with the wise and become wise. Don't associate yourself with fools, because if you do, your life will fall to pieces. Why is that? Because it's just the truth. It's a principle of life. You will become like the people you spend the most time with. That's number one. Number two, how to build biblical friendship. This proverb is, don't gossip. Don't gossip. Proverbs 16, verse 28 says, a troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends. Now, this probably isn't brand new information. Like, oh, I never heard anyone teach don't gossip. I thought gossip was a good thing. But have you ever had somebody come up to you and say, hey, come here. Did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear about what they did? Have you ever had that experience? Here's a great response for that. If somebody says, hey, did you hear about so-and-so? Here's what how you can respond. Just say this. Just ask them this question back. Just say, are you sure they would appreciate you telling me this? And if they're quick thinking, here's what they'll say. They'll say, oh, I was just sharing that as a prayer request. Right? I put myself in this category. Church people, we're good at just making that little bit of a change and say, oh, I was just sharing it. Just pray for them. You know, would you? But don't gossip. It separates best friends. What is gossip? Gossip is talking about the business, the personal business of another person without their permission. That's gossip. So if you find yourself speaking in a way about someone that you, or writing about someone that you would not do if they were next to you, that's gossip. And gossip creates discord. It separates the best of friends. Now, it took me a long time to realize that there are just some people who intentionally start rumors and their intent is to hurt people. And they just go out of their way. That's what they're doing. It took me a long time to think there are actual people who do that. But I think that that category of people, that group is fairly small. I think most people who get caught up in gossip either don't realize it when they're doing it or don't really understand how harmful it can be. But if you've ever been on the receiving end of a rumor started about you, you know the pain. You know what it feels like. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 22 says this, the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down into the inmost parts. You know, and that makes me think, a gossip is like a warm, fresh-baked chocolate chip cookie. Right, and you just take one bite and it's like, oh, it's so good. I mean, aren't chocolate chips even called morsels? Aren't they even called that? Like if you're a real baker, you call them chocolate morsels. And you just want to eat whole one and then eat another one and then eat another one and another until it gets down into the inmost parts and you start to feel sick inside. That's what the words of gossip are like. They go down to the inmost parts. And the person who just shared all the words, you know, they're ready to do the next thing. But the hearer, the one who's on the receiving end of gossip, when those words go down into your inmost parts, it really means you're thinking about them and you're remembering what those words are. And those words have power. It can actually change and influence your view of the person they were talking about. That's how powerful gossip is. And so the writer of Solomon, the writer of Proverbs is saying, don't gossip. It separates. They're like seeds of strife that get sown and they'll produce this separation and division and discord. I read a quote by Scott Sauls, who's an author and pastor. And he wrote this. He said, gossip is like pornography of the mouth. It's like pornography of the mouth. I want to make sure I quote this right because it's so good. A cheap thrill that offers zero commitment to the person being objectified, which is a very accurate definition of pornography, right? A cheap thrill that offers zero commitment to the person being objectified. And what he's saying is that gossip does the very same thing. So my encouragement to us today is have a commitment, set a high bar of not gossiping. You know what? How you can do that? Here's a filter. Don't say or write anything about someone that you would change or you would write differently or say differently if they were right next to you. And if you put that into practice in your life, it will protect you from falling into gossiping unintentionally. So, don't gossip. Walk with the wise, don't gossip. And then let's get to number three. It's be loyal. And Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for a time of adversity. A friend loves when? At all times. Loyalty is a fantastic trait. I mean, don't you just love your friends who are loyal? That is a fantastic trait to see in another person. But I think loyalty can be misunderstood sometimes. Loyalty, by definition, if you're loyal by definition, it just simply means that you stay faithful to the commitment you made. That tells me that loyalty is a decision. You choose to be loyal. No one chooses that for you. No one should be forcing you to be loyal to them. That's not how a friendship works. And if it does, it's going to turn into abuse. So I would never talk about, you know, at a church to try to force you to be loyal to this church. I don't want you to be loyal to this church because I've forced you or tried to talk you into it. I want you to choose it because you believe in being a part of this community. Loyalty, it's an incredible trait. But there's a key, and the key is be loyal to Jesus. And here's why, because being loyal to Jesus will influence your loyalty to his followers. When your commitment to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is rock solid, that will influence your loyalty to his followers. Because again, if you're a follower of Jesus, you cannot separate yourself from other followers of Jesus. That's the deal. A follower of Jesus must be connected to followers of Jesus. And the way to do that is to practice fellowship. Why? Because we need more friends? That's not the main reason. That's a nice byproduct. But the main reason for fellowship is because we will become like those we spend the most time with. And so you want your circle of friends to be people that will help you become more like Jesus. Oh, we could be a friend to anyone, and we should be friends to everyone. We should be friendly to everyone. But when it comes to this circle of friends that's going to influence who you become, choose those friends very carefully because they will influence the kind of person you become. So let's take a moment to evaluate. First and foremost, how is your loyalty to Jesus? Is it a rock solid commitment? If you've made a commitment to follow Jesus, are you loyal to him? No matter what happens in this world. And if you are, if your commitment to him is rock solid, how is your loyalty to his followers? Because a friend loves at all times. A brother is born for times of adversity. That tells me that the relationship, the connections in church and your friendships, they will be tested. our commitment to one another will be tested. Our commitment to Jesus will be tested. And so we have God's word to prepare us for that. How's your loyalty to Jesus? How's your loyalty to other people? And are you investing time and walking with the people you want to be more like? Because they will influence you more than you realize. All right, would you bow your heads? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. It's your word that breathes life into our souls. It's your Holy Spirit who helps convicts us with this truth, shows us how to change so that we can be more like Jesus Christ, our example. So God, I pray in this moment that you would open our eyes, each of us, open our eyes to see how we can become more like you, how we can choose to be loyal, how we can grow in being a wise person so that people would want to walk with us, so they become wise, we could influence. God, thank you for this church. Thank you for this group of followers of Jesus who are on a journey and on a mission to know you and to make your name known. And Lord, I pray that that would continue to burn like a fire inside of us so that more and more people can have the hope that comes from Jesus Christ. And God, for those who may be on the fence today in their loyalty to Jesus, those who may be on the fence today in their commitment to following him, God, let this be the moment where they put both feet on the ground and move forward and say, I'm following Jesus, no turning back. And I thank you for that. I thank you for these precious people. In Jesus' name I pray. Would you just keep your heads bowed for a moment? If you're here today, if you're listening to this and the sound of my voice, and you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity today. Make a public decision. And remember, we're for each other. We're not in competition, but we are for you. Maybe you grew up in church. You heard a lot about religion and joining a church, but you never really heard about having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Or maybe this is all brand new to you and life has been hard and you've made some decisions, maybe you have some regrets, or maybe you just got off straight and narrow path. Whatever your past has been, I want you to know that that past and your past does not need to determine your future. And the decision that you can make today is not about following a church, not about joining some kind of religion, but it is about this decision you make to surrender your life. Choose Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Repent of your sins, because we've all sinned, and without Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the wages or the result, the outcome of sin is death. And how many of you know when we're dead, we can't really help ourselves? Only Jesus. He's the only way. He's the only truth. He's the only way to life. And so if you're here and you're ready to make that decision, I want to lead you in a prayer and just invite you to repeat this prayer after me as a public way. You're putting a line in the sand and saying, today is the day I'm following Jesus, no turning back. So that's you. I want to invite you to pray this prayer. And we can all say this just so no one's praying alone. Would you just say this out loud? Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I believe he is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross for me. And I believe he rose from the dead to give me life. So I repent of my sins. I receive forgiveness for my sins. And I choose Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. And my old life is gone, and a new life has begun today. In Jesus' name, amen. That's the gospel. That is the good news of Jesus Christ. Can we thank God for the gospel, the power that's in the gospel? This message has the power to change and transform your life if you grab a hold of it. And so if you prayed that prayer for the first time, or you know you needed to make a serious commitment to Jesus today, the ushers have a gift for you. And so I'm gonna invite you to do something that takes a lot of courage in a room like this, but remember, we're for you. Would you just put your hands straight up in the air until an usher sees you and hands you one of those boxes that has a Bible and some other information in it? And if you're watching online, you can see how to respond. You can text the word prayer to that number on the screen, and we'll connect with you to the best way that we can through that. This journey of faith is not meant to be walked alone. I saw a couple hands. Come on, can we celebrate these individuals making decisions today? I want to encourage you, one of the two primary ways to get connected here at Worship Center, join a group and serve on a team. Join a group, serve on a team. If you're not connected in some way, would you consider doing that? You can see how to join a group. I mean, we are in group signups right now. You can join anytime. You can serve on a team anytime. But we really want to do everything we can, because this is a great opportunity to rub shoulders with those that you may not know. So I want to encourage you to do that. You can, again, see how to do that. If you have questions about that, make sure you stop by Connections and just ask, because we want to help you get connected any way that we can. If you need prayer for any reason, we'll have a prayer team down front. Please feel free to come. We'd love to pray with you. You may be facing something that seems impossible. Let me just remind you, when you join your faith together in prayer, God can do the impossible. And so have somebody, if you need prayer, please feel free to come. We'd love to pray with you. And just, it's been great being together. Come back next week for part three of our series. And let me just close our time with this, because I want to remind you that you are God's masterpiece. You've been created on purpose for a purpose. So go out this week and passionately pursue your purpose, because God wants to work through your life to impact someone else's. All right, have a fantastic day, and we'll see you here next week.